We come now to the time of our scripture reading, and Polly and I will share that with you. The scripture reading will come from the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. I will begin with verses 34 through 38, and then Polly will share verses 42 through 49, and I will conclude with verses 58 through 67. This is the story of how Abraham sent his servant to go look for a wife for his son Isaac back among their people. And at this particular time, the servant has found the person he believes God has led him to be the wife of Isaac. But he needs to talk with the brother of this person, who is Laban. So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me promise, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son.'
I came yesterday to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son.' Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, 'Please let me drink.' She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, 'Drink, and I will also water your camels.' So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, 'Whose daughter are you?' She said, 'The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him.' So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyalty and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left."
And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will." So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes." Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now, Isaac had come from Beer-lahai-roi and settled in the Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, "Who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Don't you just love hearing stories about how couples meet? I hope that in your own family you've asked that question. We love to tell stories in our family. And one of the stories that I like to tell is, well, how my mother, and father met. It's a wonderful story. My father was in the Navy. He was stationed in Washington, D.C. at the time. My mother was in the Waves. So some of you who are a little bit older know exactly what the Waves were back in that day and time. It was a way for women to serve in the military, and that particular group was attached to the Navy. Well, my mother was in the Waves, and she was stationed in Washington, D.C., and one of the things that my father had on his to-do list was to go check on the dormitories where the Waves were staying. He'd knock on the door and ask them some questions, and he knocked on this door, and my mother's name is Edna. She came to the door, and my father said he knew he was going to ask a different question at this house, at this apartment. And so after sharing with her a little bit about why he was there, he then said, "Listen, do you like fish?" She said, "I love fish." He said, "I'll be back next week this time to pick you up, and we're going to go get some good fish. I know where a good place is to go. And would you like to go?" She said, "Well, I guess." So she didn't think he was being serious, but one thing I learned about my dad, if he says it, he means it. So he showed up the next week, and she wasn't ready. And my dad said, "Well, I can wait." She says, "Well, we got a bigger problem than that." He said, "Well, what's the problem?" She said, "Well, my mother told me that when I go off that I should never go out on a date without a chaperone." And my dad said, "Oh, do you have a roommate?" She said, "Yeah, her name is Jackie." So my dad said, "Tell Jackie to come on and let's go. We're all going out to eat fish tonight." Well, that's how my mother and dad met in Washington, D.C. My father in the Navy and my mother in the Waves. And wow. Then there's a story about how my brother met his wife. Now, my brother graduated from Davidson College. He was in ROTC. He was commissioned on the day of his graduation, and he went immediately down to Fort Benning, Georgia. And then later, he was sent to serve in Germany. Now, while serving in Germany, there were a lot of things for families to do, and particular for people who were married. But for single persons, it was a little bit rough serving out there alone during the holidays. But there was this particular man who wanted to look out for people like my brother. He was retired from the Air Force. He was in civil service. And he would see my brother on almost a daily occasion at some of the commissaries over there. And so he would invite my brother home for a Thanksgiving meal or for a Christmas meal. But he took care of my brother. He took him under his wings. One particular day they were having a conversation, and he said, "My daughter is in nursing school back in New Jersey. I have promised her a car, but I'm going to have to buy a used car. Would you know of anybody around who has a used car they'd like to sell?" My brother said, "But as a matter of fact, I have a car I'm trying to sell." So Mr. Boswell bought the car from my brother. And then he said, "Oh, by the way, I'd like for you to meet my daughter when she comes over." He did. Her name is Kim. And immediately, they were attracted to one another. And about a year and a half later, my brother married Mr. Boswell's daughter, Kim. And he got his car back. It's an amazing story. And then, of course, the story about how I met Polly. I went to Christie's restaurant to have breakfast with Barbara Mulkey. I was going to meet her that particular day to talk with her about Disciple Bible Outreach Ministry and see if she'd be interested in supporting our ministry, making a contribution. She did. She was more than generous with that. But while we were eating breakfast, she said, "William, I didn't think about this morning, but a thought just came in my mind. It just came into my mind. But listen, there's a person working at Mulkey Engineering right now I think that you would like to meet. Are you interested in meeting anyone?" I said, "Well, who would be interested in me? I'm a busy man. I'm all the time doing things. And, Barbara, let's just be honest. I would love to meet someone. But, gosh, I'm just so busy. Who in the world would be interested in me?" She said, "Well, perhaps another busy person who needs to meet someone." I said, "Oh." So I said, "Okay, well, you know what? That'll be good." And then she gave me a short little lecture. She said, "William, If I give you her telephone number, women expect a call, okay? And she will be expecting a call from you, so do not disappoint. Call right away. So I called the next day. And we met for the first time on September the 21st at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon in the back table there at Bear Rock Cafe. It's no longer there now, but at Crossroads. On the way over there, I was running a little bit behind, I think, and so I was in a rush. And little did I know it, but the car right behind me was Polly. So I got out of my car, ran in there, and lo and behold, she was right behind me, and I met her. And I knew then, because the Lord said, whatever you do, son, you handle my precious treasure with care. I knew right then. Well, we have a story today about how Isaac met Rebecca. And it's an interesting story too. Now, Abraham is older now, and his son Isaac is still a bachelor at the age of 40. And Abraham knows that God has called his family to be a family of blessing to the nations. And so it's very, very important that their lineage continues. And one of the things on Abraham's mind as he nears the end of his life is how important it is to find a mate for his son Isaac. Now, back in those days and times, marriage was arranged. Parents would get together and they would arrange a marriage for their son or daughter. But Abraham was older and he really couldn't go looking to find someone for Isaac. So he asked his servant, his oldest servant in the house. We don't know who it was. Could have been Eliezer, who was one of his servants. So he asked his servant to go back to their homeland to find someone that would be good for Isaac. To go back to their own people to find someone that would be good for Isaac. And so this particular servant said that he would go. And Abraham said, the angel will go before you as you go to look and to seek God's guidance for the one who is to be the wife of my son Isaac. Well, they went off for a 500-mile trip. They took 10 camels. They took lots of handouts with them as well, and some servants. It took probably as long as 3 weeks to get back there. If they traveled about 25 miles a day, roughly 3 weeks. It was a long trip, but they finally made it back to their homeland and among their people. And along the way, the servant had a lot of thinking to do. How will I know it's the right person? And he began to immediately think that he would seek God's guidance in this decision. And so when he arrives, he comes to a place, a well. And before he goes to draw water, he thinks to himself, he prays, and he lifts up a short little prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that the one that is to be my son's wife will be the one who comes and offers me a drink from her jar and then offers out of her kindness, out of her hospitality, after her servant's heart, to water all my camels. May that person be the one that I know I should bring back to be the wife of Isaac. Sure enough, a woman approaches. It's an ordinary day for Rebecca, like any other ordinary day. But Rebecca is being who Rebecca is, a person of tremendous character, of great virtue. And she sees the man there, and she does, in fact, offer him a drink from her jar. And then she says kindly to him, would you like for me also to bring water to serve to your camels that you have with you? And he says, yes. Now, 10 camels, and my God, I don't know how much water they can drink. Lots of estimates have been given, perhaps as much as 250 gallons of water. But let me tell you, Rebecca, out of her servant's heart, out of her gift of hospitality, her kindness, she just did what she does on a regular basis. Rebecca was being Rebecca. She had no idea how God was ultimately going to lead her to a place of great destination. So what happens is then the servant shares with her why he came and what he has seen. And he asks to go see her family. And they were relatives of Abraham's family, which was okay back in that day. Matter of fact, her father was Abraham's nephew. And her brother, Laban, was Abraham's cousin. So they go, and then that servant tells what has just happened to her brother, Laban. This is the Lord's doing. This is the one that should become the wife of my master's son, Isaac. Now, it doesn't hurt that in talking with Laban, that Laban notices that she's received some mighty nice gifts, a gold ring, some bracelets, and lots of precious handouts. And Laban is a pretty good businessman, so he's very amicable about this particular transaction getting ready to take place. But nevertheless, the servant is very sincere. The Lord has guided me and led me to this place, and this is what I've seen. Well, interesting enough, Laban agrees that this should be. His only request, of course, was that she remain there about 10 more days before she go with the servant back to see Abraham and his son Isaac. But then a very unusual thing happens. Laban decides to ask her, does she really want to go? Very unusual, but she gets a choice in this matter. Will you go with this man? And she says yes. And so immediately she leaves. And much like Abraham and Sarah did many, many years before, she now embarks on a journey not knowing what lays in front of her. A long journey of 500 miles, leaving her family, leaving her country, going to a place she didn't really know about. In much the same way that Abraham and Sarah had left their home on this great journey of faith, so Rebecca leaves her home and goes with the servant. When they arrive back, the storyteller here tells us that Isaac is in the field. He is doing what Isaac does. Isaac is a person of character as well. When it says that he was walking in the field, it could also be translated, he was meditating in the field. He was meditating in the field. He looks up and he sees someone coming. And it's right before his eyes is Rebecca. Rebecca looks up, and right before her eyes is Isaac. She asks the servant, who is that? And he says, that's the son of my master. This is the one. And so they finally meet face to face. And Rebecca takes her as his wife. And then the only time in the whole Bible you hear of romantic love like this, it says that he loved her and took her into the family. Now, the background to this story is very, very, very important, because what Abraham recognized is that this needed to be a special person. This family was a family that had been blessed for a purpose, that they would be a blessing to other families, so that eventually they would become a blessing to the whole world. Abraham knew that this particular person needed to be a very special person. And so the servant asked and prayed for a person of character, and that's who Rebecca was. Little did she know, doing her ordinary chores on that particular day, that she would be led to this particular place of destiny. And then, of course, Isaac had no way of knowing either. But that's how they met. What are the lessons from this story? I just want to lift up a couple of quick lessons. In whatever decision you have to make in life, and whatever guidance you need, prayer is the first response, not the last resort. And this whole story, the servant began with prayer. Dear Lord, guide me, show me, lead me. I will have my eyes open, but I'm dependent upon you to lead me and guide me. That is a very, very important lesson. And whatever decision you have to make in life, begin it with prayer and then keep your eyes open. The second lesson that I would lift up really has to do with my particular advice about people who are looking for a mate. You might say, what made you the expert, William? I learned. And here's what I've learned. Far too often, people are trying to find Mr. Right or Miss Right. You've heard that. I'm looking for Mr. Right, or I'm looking for Miss Right, who will become the Mrs. Right, I guess. I'm looking for the perfect one. Did you hear the story about the fellow who was looking for the perfect wife? He really couldn't find one. He'd always find a fault with somebody. He'd come back and they'd say, well, how about her? No, she had some faults. She wasn't perfect. Then finally he comes back and he goes, wow, I finally found the perfect person. And they said, well, what's wrong? How come you're not with her? He said, well, she's looking for the perfect person. If you're looking for a mate or a spouse in life, or if you're looking for a good friend, you're looking for someone to share your life with that will be very close to you, the most important thing is this. You become Mr. Right with God yourself. You become Mrs. Right with God yourself. You become the right person. You become the person who can say this. In whatever relationship I get into, my greatest desire is that I will be a blessing to that person. My greatest desire is that when I come into a friendship that could possibly lead to a courtship, that could possibly lead to a marriage, my desire is that that person will feel affirmed, accepted, and blessed because of the way I behave with this person. That's what God told me when I was holding Polly's hands. Because I was afraid. You know, what if it doesn't work out? Intimacy is a very difficult thing to navigate. Because it really means opening up your heart and just sort of exposing yourself for who you are and letting somebody else see it. And you know, persons can easily reject that or laugh at that or what have you. And you know how the tapes go in your mind. You know, these bad things happened and this happened and this happened. And, oh, I don't want to ever experience that kind of pain again. And so you sort of shield yourself from any possible future hurt. You kind of walk around in a bubble so you don't get your feelings hurt. Because, you know, if you get some expectations up and then it doesn't work out, then you just get your bubble bursted and it's just terrible. But at that particular time, the Lord said, what are you afraid of, William? If you enter into a relationship with the attitude of I'm going to learn something and I'm going to grow in ways I've never grown before and that I'm going to be a blessing to this person. And then whatever happens, I'm a winner. Why? Because I've become, first of all, the person God wants me to become. So my advice is this. Work on yourself. Become Mr. Right or Mrs. Right with God. You know, Rebecca had done that. She was a person who exemplified selflessness. She was a servant. She had the gift of hospitality. Well, the third lesson is this. And this is regarding knowing God's will. Knowing God's will is not just about finding the path that God has for you in life, the way to go. But knowing God's will has to do with following His ways. In other words, what kind of person does God want you to be? The last lesson in this thing has to do with this. We're not only to pray for guidance for ourselves. We're to pray for guidance for those persons under our care. You know, Eliezer, if indeed that was the servant, whoever he was a very selfless person. First of all, he stood to inherit things if this thing didn't work out. But Eliezer had this person under his care. He had a friendship with Abraham. And so Eliezer prayed for guidance so that he might find a wife for Isaac. I have known parents that have started praying for the spouse of their child when they brought the child home from the hospital. That's what I'm talking about. We're not only to pray for guidance for ourselves, we're to pray for guidance for those entrusted to our care. Matter of fact, as a whole church right now, we should be thinking of who are the young people who have just gone off to college or will just be going off to college. Perhaps we need to start praying for them that they'll be led in the right path in terms of their career or meeting people. Perhaps we need to write them a letter and say something like this. You know what? I just want to let you know I'm praying for God's guidance for you in life and whatever you decide to do or to be. Those are lessons I think God has for us. But here's the question I have for you. Is there a decision in your life right now that you need to make? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He will direct your path. You know, this story is important to us because it's a family story. Family stories are important because family stories tell us about our identity. We are God's people. We have been blessed. And it also tells us, as God's people, our purpose, and that is to be a blessing. Now, since we are God's people, and since God has blessed us to be a blessing, we can expect God to guide us and lead us. That's why we need these stories, so we won't forget who we are and what our purpose is. And I believe that God will lead us and guide us in every decision we have to make. Let us pray. Dear Lord, for many of us, there is a decision we need to make for which we need guidance and direction. Help us to understand that you are a God of guidance. You are a God who delights in leading your children along the right paths in life. Dear Lord, thank you that we can trust in you with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all our ways and believe that you will guide us and lead us. And Lord, for those under our care, we would pray that we might always be lifting others up for their guidance as well. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come now to our time of prayer, once again, you're welcome to come forward for prayer.